so heavy, and it seems I'm all alone. I cast my care on Jesus and come boldly to His throne. I find His grace sufficient when His promises I heed. For His very life He sacrificed, and He lives to intercede. He is the Lord of lords, and when He speaks, winds and waves obey. When Jesus whispers, be still, then the darkness turns to day. And as I'm trusting in my Savior's word, doubts and fears all cease. And beneath the shelter of His wings, I'm at rest in peace. Seek for souls in darkness, have resolve with them to share. Empowered by His Spirit, I will follow anywhere. For I know whatever befall me, my Lord is in control. As my life is stayed on Him, perfect peace He gives my soul. He is the Lord of lords, and when He speaks, winds and waves obey. When Jesus whispers, peace be still, then the darkness turns today. And as I'm trusting in my Savior's word, doubts and fears all cease. And beneath the shelter of His wings, I'm at rest in peace. He is the Lord of lords, and when He speaks, winds and waves obey. When Jesus whispers, peace be still, then the darkness turns to day. And as I'm trusting in my Savior's word, doubts and fears all cease. And beneath the shelter of His wings, I'm at rest in perfect peace. And beneath the shelter of His wings, I'm at rest in perfect peace.
Rest in perfect peace. Now you can take off. Verse 28. Okay, Job 9. Dealing with a hard heart. The symptoms of a hard heart. You ever wonder why maybe somebody grew up in a good Christian home or a church, or, you know, a good Bible-believing church or something like that? You ever wonder why they go bad? I've seen good kids come from bad families. I've seen bad kids come from bad families. I've seen good kids grow up from good families. I've seen pretty raunchy ones grow up from good families. Why is that? It's a matter of hard-heartedness. The probably number one Satanist in the world, Aleister Crowley, grew up in a home of an evangelist of a Plymouth Brethren. His dad was out preaching for the Plymouth Brethren, and his mom would try to take care of his kid. He said, "Man, you're the devil, you're the beast." And the kid grew up to be it. Aleister Crowley, how could that happen? Well, the Bible gives that answer. Job 9, verse 1. Job answered and said, "I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he contend with him, he cannot answer him. One of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered?" Wise question. Okay, verse 2 or verse 3. A man is arguing with God. When you argue with God, I dare say he's going to win the argument. Why? But verse 4, he's wise and he's mighty. And then, who hardens himself against God and then prospers? Okay, that's Job's advice or Job's question. Let's try Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, verse 13. "Whoso covereth his sin..." Proverbs 28:13, "shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth alway." That seems like an oxymoron. When you're scared, you can't be happy. But it depends what you're scared of. Happy is the man that feareth always. Feareth what? Feareth God in the context. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Having a hardened heart. Okay, one more. The opposite of a hard heart is 2 Kings chapter 22. If you can't find 2 Kings, it's right after 1st. Maybe that'll help you out. 2 Kings 22. Of course, Mike's got it right there in his computer and his Bible there. He's probably already got it. Probably go to the Bible drill, he'd probably win. 2 Kings 22, verse 18. Don't let him fool you. He's over there playing solitary, probably. Okay. 2 Kings 22:18. "Now, but to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, this shall you say to him. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord." Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us understand this truth, help us realize that none of us are immune of this problem of hardening of the heart. I pray you'd help us to be faithful to your words. I pray you'd help us to draw close to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, it's interesting. The hardening of the arteries is a very slow and subtle process. The ultimate of the hardening of the arteries is a heart attack. A heart attack has many symptoms. You'll find many symptoms that occur before a heart attack, but some people don't recognize the symptoms, and all of a sudden, they're gone that quick. I know a guy that had happened to him when he was 40 years old. He's in bed, his wife, and all of a sudden he just complained of having a heartburn. His wife said, "Oh, shut up, quit complaining." And a few minutes later, he just goes, and he was dead that quick. Now, there are a bunch of symptoms before that. If he would have recognized the symptoms, he possibly could have delayed that event. Hardening of the arteries is a buildup of the plaque. It's a very slow, subtle thing. Okay, as far as your body goes. And a ultimate is a potential heart problem, but there are several warnings of a potential heart problem. Okay, and if we apply that spiritually speaking, what about a heart problem in a Christian's life? Now, in Job chapter 9, Job is warning about it. Job warns about having a hard heart against God, and if you have a hard heart toward God, then you're not going to prosper. Solomon warned about it in Proverbs 28, but the fascinating thing about Solomon warning about heart problems, that's what he died from. The women that he married, the multiple wives that he had, pulled his heart away from God, and he got a hard heart, and that's what took him out. A wise man warned about getting a hard heart toward God, and he got a hard heart toward his God. That's the amazing thing about it. And the Christian life, now when I talk about the Christian life, I'm talking about biblical Christianity. You can see all sorts of facades going on through this country. But biblical Christianity, where you're faithful to the words of God, if you really want to experience, get out in the streets and go street preaching. And when you get out and go street preaching, you have to have a tough hide. I can't see, you know, Joel Osteen out there. Turn from hell. You know, a sissified twerp. Looks like it's been out of a beauty parlor. I mean, these guys on TV, they're just acting anyway. It's all facade of these clowns. But you get out on the street, you got to have a tough hide when you're dealing with people, but you still have to retain a tender heart. When a repentant, humbled sinner comes to you, and you got to have a tender heart towards that person. You got to have a tender heart toward God. It's a fine line between having a tough hide towards apostates, carnal Christians, and retaining a tender heart toward God. Job warned about it. Solomon warned about it. Solomon died from it. Now, this idea of having a hard heart, it is the characteristic of many beings. Job 41, verse 26 or 24, it is a characteristic of Leviathan, who is Satan incarnate. Job 41 is dealing with Leviathan, and that is the natural state of Satan himself. And it says about him that his heart is adamant as a stone, it's hard-hearted. He's got a hard heart. And that's his problem. Okay, Job 41. Another example of a hard heart is found in Daniel chapter 5, verse 20, where Daniel is talking to Belshazzar, and he said that the problem your granddad had, Nebuchadnezzar, was that he got hard toward God. Now, when Nebuchadnezzar got hard toward God, God twisted his brain, and he went nuts for 7 years. And they had to feed him in the back 40. His hair grew long. He's like in a mental ward of some type. He was still king, but he was a nut. And this idea of hard-heartedness or arrogance is a natural characteristic of kings, rulers, presidents, vice presidents, bureaucrats. It is a natural thing that you're dealing with these people. Why? It's because they have been told by the media that they're gods, they're gods, they're gods, they're gods, and Obama believes it. I'm a god. And so did Bush. And so did Clinton. And so did the Bush before him. And so did Reagan. I'm a god, I'm a god, I'm a god. You see? And that's a natural thing where they get a hard heart toward God and they have a hard heart toward man. Not only that, people prior to the fall of a nation, prior to the judgment of a nation, generally speaking, people will have a hard heart. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 7, God told Ezekiel, I want you to preach to these people. He said, they will have a hard heart, they will have a stiff neck, they will not listen to you. So the idea is, then why waste the time preaching at them? Why waste the time? He said, because I want you to do it. Now, that is the general attitude of people now, today. If you want to experience, get out in the street. I'd say you do more for God's work out in the street preaching than you do knocking on doors. I think you ought to knock on doors. It's the right thing to do. But the drawback of knocking on doors is you're a guest on somebody's private property, and if they tell you to leave and get out, you should leave and get out. No questions asked. Leave. Right now on the spot. They can take your track and throw it in a garbage can. You see, and of course, this is what you see down at Purdue. People may take your tracks, and you see the garbage can after we leave. I always check the garbage cans and recycle them because there's a bunch in there. But when you're street preaching and you proclaim the words of God, it gets in their ears. They can't throw that away. You got them. Now, those words are going to most likely go to their destruction, but that's what God's word does. When they lay their head on a pillow at night, they're going to hear, you must be born again. And they're going to say, oh, I'm stinking idiots out there cramming their beliefs down my throat. Bunch of little thin-skinned sissies. You see, and that's where the work is really done. And God told Ezekiel, I want you to preach at these people, but they're not going to listen. And that is the general attitude of Americans today. That's the attitude of them. But you see, Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah, they were out in the streets letting them know, you know, preaching what the Word of God says. Now, no one is immune to this problem of having a hard-hearted, being hard-hearted. None of us are immune from it. All of us will tend to have it sometime in our life, spiritually speaking. In John chapter 12, verse 40, this is the general attitude of the people of Jesus' day, is that their heart got hard. They heard what he said, but they didn't understand it. They saw what he did, but they didn't understand it, didn't grasp it. Why? It's because they had a hard heart. In Hebrews chapter 3, and chapter 3 and chapter 4, it mentions three times that the nation of Israel got a hard heart toward God. Now, this nation of Israel, remember, these people saw the 10 plagues. They went through the Red Sea crossing. They saw the quail come down. They saw water come from a rock. They heard God speak audibly on Mount Sinai. They witnessed all this stuff, and they got a hard heart toward God. If they're not immune to it, you and I are not immune to it. Not only that, but the apostles in Mark chapter 16, verse 14, Jesus got put out with them because they developed a hard heart. These people heard Jesus Christ preach for 3.5 years and watched him. And they could not say that he spoke wrong any time. Now, you could say that about me. I've misspoke many a time. You know I'm a sinner. But these guys could not say that about Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, and they developed a hard heart. And who are you and I compared to them? Nobody's immune from a hard heart. Nobody in this room, nobody on this planet. Now, if we can catch some of the characteristics of a hard heart, maybe we can stop or avoid or delay a quote, spiritual heart attack. Now, the opposite of that is a tender heart. In 2 Kings chapter 22, this guy named Josiah, he became a king at 8 years old. He had ruled up to 18 years at this time, at 26. At 26, God told the nation of Judah that I'm destroying you, I'm taking you out. I'm going to have a foreign army come in and conquer you. Now, can that happen in America? Obviously. But America is dumb enough to cut its own throat. Why do we need socialists to come in when we got them right in the White House? Now, if you look at this country, you think America's a socialist nation because of Obama. We've been running down socialism for years. Social security. It's an oxymoron. It was told to be a social insurance way back in FDR's day. Now, if you got a number, I'm not saying you're a socialist. I'm just telling you that this country has been walking down that path for many years, going back to Abe Lincoln's day. You see? And if you tell this to Americans, they don't want to hear it when you take the money from the till that they're getting the till from. You see? They don't want to hear it. You see? We've been going down this path for a long time. In 2 Kings 22, God told Judah, I am wiping you people out. Babylonian army is coming in. You are going to fall. And a guy named Josiah read that, and it scared his socks off. Scared him. It's like somebody reading a Bible and saying, man, you're going to hell, and they get scared. What are you going to do about it? Humble yourself and come to that God. Say, you're right. You're right. Josiah humbled himself, and he said, you're right. We're wrong. I accept that fact. And then God told Josiah what to do, and he delayed the inevitable. He delayed it, set it off for another time. It's not going to be in his kingdom. It's going to be somebody else's. So he delayed the fact. And you see, you're not going to delay, you know, the fall of America is inevitable. It's going to happen. Every nation goes down. Why? It's the law of life. It's the law of the everything falls apart. Now, the idea is to delay it as long as we can. You know, if the Lord tarries someday, this church is going to be liberal. Someday Dr. Dry and Dust is going to be hiding the pulpit with a collar turned around backwards, probably. He's going to be as dead as a hammer. Someday, every place it happens. You see it at Moody Bible Institute. If D.L. Moody came back today, he'd run out 99% of them people in that place. It's a dead joint today. Moody Bible, they don't believe in a Bible. They've never seen a Bible a day in their life. From their own admission, they've never seen a Bible in a day in their life. But you see, being a tender heart, having a tender heart, Josiah had a tender heart, and God gave him the answers because his heart was tender towards God. The word tender-hearted, if you find it throughout the Bible, you find it occurring four times. 2 Chronicles 13, verse 7, refers to Rehoboam as a kid. It says he had a tender heart. Now, tender heart is a natural thing for young people. You know, young kids have a tender heart. Because of the tender-heartedness, they have a natural inclination to forgive. Young children forgive quick, do they not? Any of us parents know that. When you wrong them and you apologize to your child for doing wrong, your child will look and you say, oh, I forgive you, Daddy. Why? Because they have a tender heart. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So children have a tender heart, and that's why they're easy to be molded. So when you got a kid put in school, who's going to cram evolution down their throat? Now, we don't cram our beliefs down anybody's throat. We tell it to them, and if we're on private property, we'll leave and shut up. And we'll speak on a street corner. If they don't want to hear it, they can go down another street corner. But when you cram it down your throat, you cram it down the throat in a public school. Evolution. If they don't listen, they'll get an F. That's cramming it down the throat. And so you got a junior high kid, and they believe this garbage, and a senior high kid, they believe this garbage, get up in college, and they believe this stuff, and Limbaugh calls them young skulls full of mush. And there's some truth in that, but you know, if you get out and start talking to people, you're going to find young people are getting hard quick. Young people, teen, junior high kids are getting hard to the things of God. And the reason why is they're getting beat up. Getting beat up by the world. They got to grow up fast. But generally speaking, the tenderheartedness of youth, that's something a person wants to retain. Now, I want to show you some characteristics of hard-heartedness in the Bible. I guess as far as the medical world, you can call these symptoms. Now, the classic character of hard-heartedness is a guy named Pharaoh. So if you go back to Exodus chapter 7, we're not going to look at the Bible doctrinally. We're just looking at it practically or instructionally, looking at the instructional, practical things here. Pharaoh is a type of the Antichrist. Moses is probably going to come back in the tribulation, going to preach at the Antichrist. But there is more verses mentioned about Pharaoh having hard-heartedness than any man in the Bible. And so he gives several symptoms. And if you can recognize a symptom of developing a hard heart, possibly you can correct it and not die of a spiritual heart attack as a Christian. Now, as a born-again believer, obviously I'm not talking about losing one's salvation, because no born-again believer can get unborn again. You see, now on Old Testament, that's a whole different ballgame. Tribulation time, that's a whole different dispensation where a person can lose their salvation. That time in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, being born again, that's a secure thing in Jesus Christ. But you can forfeit many things. You can die of a spiritual heart attack. You see? And Exodus chapter 7. So I want to give you about five characteristics that Pharaoh displays. These are like symptoms of having a hard heart, or developing hardening of the arteries, or developing the potential heart problem. Exodus chapter 7 verse 13, it says, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart. That, here's the symptom, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. The them there is Moses and Aaron. What is this? A refusal to listen to the truth. Refuse to listen to it. Exodus chapter 7, verse 22. He repeats that idea. The magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them. You have a counterfeit here. It's a counterfeit looking like they can do the same thing Moses can do. And it deceived Pharaoh, and he would not listen to the truth. Exodus chapter 8. I don't care if the truth gets so obvious. Exodus 8, verse 19. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. I mean, this is so obviously God speaking to Pharaoh. Why don't you pay attention? Even his side is saying this. And it says, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Now, if you would, try Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. If you know what's going on in this country, if you know the political position of this country or what's going on in the courts and things like that, if you know about the banking and all the fake stuff, there's a verse that's almost always used, Hosea 4, verse 6, where it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. This is almost always used, and it's almost always, that's almost always the limit of the verse. You ought to read the rest of the verse and find out what's going on. Americans are being destroyed for lack of knowledge, not because they didn't get it. It's because they had the opportunity to get it and refused it. That's what Hosea 4, 6 is saying. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Now, obviously, that's Israel, the nation of Israel, doctrinally. But still, the same idea still goes with what's going on in America. America's being destroyed for lack of knowledge. In most cases, because they rejected it. They'd heard it. A lot of times you go out and knock on doors, you find Christians everywhere. They're all Christians out there. It's pathetic, you see? And they've heard the truth. They don't want it. The vast majority of them that way. Why? Their heart got hard. Refusal to listen to the truth. That's one characteristic or symptom of a hard heart. Back in Exodus chapter 7, we'll try another one. This guy Pharaoh gives us five characteristics or five symptoms. Exodus chapter 7, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. Okay, this characteristic, what's this one? This is refusing to relieve the afflicted when you had the capability to do it. It's refusing to help somebody out when you had the capability to help them out. Now, granted, you got to realize that it is not my job and it's not your job to right all injustices. You can't do it. You walk down the street tomorrow, you're going to see them everywhere. I mean, you see a cop pulling somebody on the side for a traffic violation when they're not driving. There's an injustice. You're not going to fix everyone. You go knocking on doors, you're going to find some parents, yelling at some kids don't deserve it. You're not going to fix every injustice. It's not your job or my job to win the world. You hear people, we're going to win the world. No, you're not. Don't kid yourself. You're not going to affect 99.99% of the world. You see, all God wants you to do is be a blessing to Him and try to help some folks out that you cross in your life. You see, but the idea of refusing to help somebody out when you can, that's refusing to give a gospel tract to somebody when the Spirit says you need to give it to them. That's refusing to witness to somebody when you should be witnessing to them. You see, when you can help them out, you can tell them the truth about Jesus Christ. When you refuse to do it, you've gotten a hard heart. Granted, there's sometimes people get themselves in a fix that you need to let them stay in the fix so that they get themselves out of the fix. So there's sometimes when you interfere in somebody's life trying to help them out when God got them in that position to get their attention. And so sometimes you just got to let people go so they learn. Sometimes God gets them in there. And so it's a fine line of trying to be a help to somebody, and it's a fine line putting your nose in other people's business. And only asking God to guide you and direct you do you know what you're supposed to do. Several years ago out in Colorado, some guy came to the church and he was asking for, he's a guy asking for bumming off a church. And boy, that gets tiresome, these bums. They're just church mooches, what they are. And I had a pantry, a little cabinet in my office where I had some soup in there, and I looked at the guy, and I said, what church did you go to? And he had to think, Baptist. I said, oh, yeah, right, clown. I grabbed two cans of pork and beans, and I said, here, there you go. Have a good day. See you later, pal. He looked at that. I got a famine. I said, I hope you can find a can opener. Out the door. Why? That's what that guy needed. Was I helping him out to help him continue his sin? Laziness? We'll work for food. Okay, go out and do it. Stand on the street corner, go work for it. Why you got to broadcast and advertise it? Go find a job. Go do something. You see, there are sometimes you just got to let people go. But when you refuse to relieve the afflicted when you have the capability to help them out, and you refuse to do it, that's a hard heart. That's a symptom of a hard heart. Third one is Exodus chapter 8, verse 15. It says, when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. This one is not learning from setbacks or afflictions of life. Up until this point, he's been hammered, I don't know how many times, been punched about five times in the face by God through these plagues. And he's been set back. And so if a person refuses to learn or does not learn from your setbacks or your problems in life, that's having a hard heart. When you got a problem in life, probably the first thing you ought to do, the first thing I do when I got a setback or some major problem or what going, the first thing I do, I look in the mirror and say, okay, pal, no doubt the problem's you, instead of blaming somebody else. America's a victim about everything. You see? The problem is look in the mirror. No, the devil didn't make me do it. You did it of your own accord. Look in the mirror. Okay? And the thing is if you're not willing to learn from it, from these setbacks or whatnot, God's trying to get your attention. It's a blessing that when you're wanting to go down a wrong path, God interrupts it. That's God's graciousness. If God left me alone, I could mess it up real good, real quick. And it's God's graciousness when he interferes with us. And those interferences, we need to stop and think and ask God. Okay. There's been a times where I thought about doing something or getting something, and it's like the Spirit of God told me to get it, and then down the road I should have got it, and I didn't get it. And I think, yeah, you did tell me, didn't you? Okay, and so we need to learn from those setbacks in life. The fourth one is in Exodus 9, verse 27. This is Pharaoh. I said, Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Well, about time, pal. I have sinned this time. You sinned this time and the other time also, pal. Now, what's going on here? Okay, what's going on is he's been hit again, and now there's a reprieve. There's been a time of calmness. And Pharaoh, here, what this is a time where he desires to get right at a certain time, but then he reneges on the desire. He desires to get right when the times are bad, and then when the times get good, he reneges on it. I've seen this time and time again with guys in jail. You know, granted, no one going on that, but I've seen it, guys time and time again, repeat customers, they tell me, this is the worst jail I've been in. You know, and then they said, that's a terrible place. I said, you must like it. You came back a second time, you came back a third time, came back a fourth time. I mean, I visited down there in Rensselaer for I don't know how many years. And they would get right with God while they're behind the bars, and then they get back out, and they go back to their own mess. Drunk, drugs, whatnot. You see? And what it is, they wanted to get right when they were in a fix. But when they got fixed and got out and they went right back to their mess. What is the problem? It's a hard heart. That's the problem. Heart trouble. Hardening of the arteries. Okay, and the fifth one for this Pharaoh is in Exodus 14:4. This guy was such a slow learner. He's such a, hard-hearted. This guy got punched in the face 10 times by God, lost the child, firstborn, killed his own kid. Then Israel takes off, and then this guy's dumb enough to get in a chariot and go down into the Red Sea and gets killed. That's hard-heartedness. That's pride. Exodus 14:4, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon his host. God gets the honor when he kills him. That sharp two-edged sword that God had cut his throat. and God got the honor. Because the Bible was given for two reasons, to save and to damn. But there's a classic example of hardheartedness. That's what's called willful ignorance. I mean, for somebody to be ignorant is one thing, but to be willful ignorant, that's a whole different thing. That's just plain dumb. I mean, if somebody says you're ignorant, that's really not an insult. That just means you ignored a topic or ignored a subject. But if you're willful ignorant, that means you're dumb. Just plain stupid. You see? And that's a hard-heartedness. Now, there's another fella that displays hard-heartedness, got another characteristic. You find him in 2 Chronicles 36, verse 11. Now, those are five characteristics or symptoms that Pharaoh had. This guy has another one. It's similar, but yet there's a slight variation. This Zedekiah is a typical bureaucrat, sticks his finger in the air. He's afraid of what the news media is going to say. He knew that Jeremiah spoke the truth, but Jeremiah was just a peon. He was just a peon prophet. He wasn't a big shot like Zedekiah. But yet he would secretly try to counsel with Jeremiah, and then he would say to him, hey, Jeremiah, don't tell anybody I talked to you, okay? Don't tell anybody. He was such a coward. And so he'd ask Jeremiah what to do, and Jeremiah said, why don't you just go on out there and just surrender to Nebuchadnezzar? If you surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, if you just go out there and surrender to him, you know, you'll live in luxury, but, you know, you just won't be the top dog, but you'll just live, you know, why don't you just go out there and humble yourself? And he was scared to do that. He was scared to stay. He was scared to run. He was scared to do everything. Just typical bureaucrat. And finally, he just wouldn't listen. 2 Chronicles 36, 11. Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. It's interesting how he wrote that. He did not want to admit Jeremiah was right. I had a deal with a fellow several years ago, and it was about the Bible issue. And after about a year of him making a fool out of himself, after about a year or two of that, he came back to me and said, I had to admit you're right. And I looked at him and said, it wasn't a matter of I was right. The rightness is God. If you're not willing to admit that God's right, I just happen to be on the same page with him on that issue. And his problem was he didn't want to humble himself. The problem is he didn't want to humble himself against God. He just thought it was me that was standing in the way. Same with Zedekiah. Zedekiah didn't want to humble himself against Jeremiah, but actually it was God. That was his problem. He refused to listen to Jeremiah. He refused to listen to a Bible thumper. He refused to listen to a Bible believer. Now, that's Zedekiah and Pharaoh. There's another crowd in the New Testament. Pharaoh, the Pharisees, try Mark chapter 3. The New Testament gives a couple more characteristics or symptoms of this hard-heartedness. This is a pretty practical one, where a person gets hard towards something. Now, the Pharisees were obviously the crowd that instigated a crucifixion. And here's an example of their hard-heartedness. Mark chapter 3, verse 4, Jesus Christ is, in other words, picking a fight with these guys. And it says in verse 4, he saith unto him, he, Jesus, saith unto them, the Pharisees and the scribes, is it lawful to do good or on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And notice, but they held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. What is this characteristic? It's refusing to answer when you know you're wrong. It's when somebody asks you a question or makes a statement and you refuse to answer, you refuse to comment, because you know whatever you say, you're wrong. Several years ago, Charles Hood and I was knocking on some doors. We came across a JW. It was a woman, JW. And I think she was the type of woman that kept pestering her husband about being a JW, and he didn't really want to hear it. And so we got talking about the JW Bible, the New World Translation. And I like to point out to these guys that they don't like the Catholic Church, but got a Catholic Bible, and you know, they always cause a problem for them. And so I looked at this lady, and I said, ma'am, if you had a choice to get a Bible from Egypt or Israel, which would you choose? And the husband knew that was a whopper of a question, and he was wanting her to answer it because it was going to make her to look out to be a fool. And I think he was kind of wanting her to look out to be a fool. She wouldn't answer the question. And he kept saying, honey, answer the question. Answer the question. She knew whichever way she was going, she was dead meat. And she wouldn't answer the question. What did she have? What was her problem? Hard heart. That's the problem. When you learn to ask those questions, you can spot the problem the person has. They got heart trouble. Like it says in Proverbs, they have no heart to it. They don't want to know the truth anyway, because they want to go their way. Now, it's understandable to see that the Pharisees and Zedekiah and Pharaoh had a hard heart because they were, quote, bad men. What about good men? Let's try the apostles. Mark chapter 6, verse 52. All these will be in Mark. Now, when I say, let's try the apostles, let's try people in this room right now. Let's try us. Let's try the Bible-believing churches. You know what the Bible-believing churches are filled of today? People with hard hearts. And it's very easy to happen. Mark 6:52. And they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. They, who's they? The apostles. What is the characteristic? When you fail to consider the blessings of God. You know, if you've been raised in a good Christian home, been raised in a Bible-believing church, I hope you realize the blessing that you've been given. And if you haven't realized it, get out on the street and find out. Go to an apostate church and sit there and watch the people fall asleep. Boring. Boring. No truth. Go listen to an apostate preacher. Don't believe what he's saying. They're everywhere. When you take a vacation, you know, don't look for one of these churches at King James only. Go find one of these other ones. Have a good time. Enjoy yourself. I mean, you don't consider the blessings that you've been given. I mean, I got a Bible that's perfect. That's a blessing. I mean, this book is the most hated book in the seminaries all across America, this King James Bible. They hate this book. They despise this book. And it's just as perfect as can be. Man, that's a blessing. I mean, we don't consider the blessings we got in our country. I mean, the advantage of traveling to other places in the world, you see how good you got it in our country. That's our problem. We got it too good. Americans are too soft. When you go to other countries, like you go to Romania and you see the Christians that I saw in Romania who may not have a perfect Bible, but they do know something about Jesus Christ we don't know. And of a church of about 80 people, they had three cars, and one was a pastor, and I had to push start it with them every time. I had to push it for them to get it started. And I see the peace that those people have on their hearts that they got, and where the pastor's lucky to make $50 a month, and I see the peace they have, and then I see Americans get kind of a little impatient with Americans. We need to consider the blessings of God. Realize what you have. So my parents aren't perfect. Whose are? But they're better than a lot of majority of them. Consider the blessings of God. The second one about the apostles in Mark chapter 8, verse 17. Mark 8:17. It says, and when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Okay, in this one, the apostles, the Lord was kind of put out with them. And the problem was is that they did not personally apply his preaching to themselves. What is it? They failed to attain personal understanding. You know, if you sat down with me and I got to deal with a Jehovah's Witness, I really could have a good time with them. And there are several people in this room could sit down with Jehovah's Witness and have a very enjoyable time with them and watch them run with their tail between their legs, but yet laugh through the whole thing. You ought to be able to do that personally. If you spend some time in a book yourself so you get understanding, you can answer these questions, and you come across a couple Mormon boys and just enjoy yourself and not be all bothered and get mad. Just enjoy yourself and watch them run with their tail between their legs. You tie a couple tin cans on their tails, you know, and as they run, and just enjoy yourself. You ought to be able to do that. Being in a Bible-believing church for 5, 6, 7 years, you ought to be able to do that. And I would want you to do that. I would desire everybody in this room to be able to do that. Why? Because you personally applied it to yourself. You personally got into the Bible. You personally asked God for perception. You personally asked God that you might understand yourself. Not just, well, my preacher said this. My preacher can do that. No, I want you to be able to do that. I want you to be able to see through these false prophets and be able to stump them so that they run away from you as quick as they can, like a little coward, which is you should be able to do. You see? But the apostles did not attain personal understanding yet. You'll find them in the book of Acts when they get it. And of course, it does take time. Mark chapter 16, verse 14. If they can get a hard heart, who are we? Mark 16, 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Okay, now what's this one? This one, you can see Jesus Christ is mad at them. He's upset with them. And basically what's going on here is these apostles failed to consider the testimony of faithful people. These are people that witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ, or meaning they witnessed Jesus Christ after he was resurrected. These were good people. These are people who are faithful. These are people who love Jesus Christ. And they would not even listen to their testimony. Now, if you don't want to listen to the testimony of a liar, I understand that. Somebody who's an apostate, I understand that. But somebody that has been faithful to it, and they have told you what they understand and what they believe and what they understand, and their perception of things, and if you don't even want to consider that and research it further for yourself, that is a symptom of a hard heart. See, that's the problem. It's a hardening of the arteries. Plaque is being built up. You're not going to consider the preaching. You know, if somebody's been faithful to it, your heart, you know, you see, everybody's heart in this room is going to be made known to people in due time. It's going to be made known. What reveals a person's heart is time. What's going on in your heart right now, I may not know right now. I'll know in about 10 years. And God already knows what's going on in your heart right now. You're not fooling anybody but yourself. That's why your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So what is the solution of all this? The opposite of a hard heart is tenderize your heart. Get a tender heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." It's you got to keep your own heart. It's you got to tenderize your heart. In Luke chapter 8, verse 15, the ones that has fruit that's bearing forth from them is people with an honest and good heart. Paul told Timothy that you have a pure heart. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. And in Proverbs 23, God the Father is saying to you and I as sons of God, he's saying, "My son, give me thine heart." He didn't say, "Give me thy head." He said, "Give me thine heart." The idea is the way you tenderize your heart is only one way. And you personally getting alone by yourself with your God, with your Bible, and asking him to tenderize your heart. I can't do it for you. Your parents can't do it for you. Your siblings can't do it for you. Nobody can do it for you but between you and God. If you do not get alone with God daily, sometime, your heart will get hard. It's gonna. There's no two ways about it. If you don't get in your Bible personally, by yourself, and if you don't start saying to yourself and asking your God, "God, is this right or wrong? God, is this music right or wrong? God, is this person right or wrong? God, is this event right or wrong?" If you don't personally do it yourself, your heart is going to get hard. That's why in the New Testament, it is personal between you and God. It is a personal faith in Jesus Christ. It is a personal Bible that you got. Now, I'm not saying it's personal to the point where you can't tell on anybody else. People don't want to tell their faith that somebody else has got a faith that I'd be ashamed of, too. I wouldn't want to tell anybody about it. But the idea is tenderizing your heart. How do you tenderize meat when you're going to cook it? You take a hammer, don't you? And smash it a few times. You punch it. And this book says that the word of God is like a hammer, Jeremiah 23:29. And when you get in this book and let it hit your heart, let it hit your heart, let it hit your heart, this book will tenderize your heart. But it's got to be you. And if you don't get alone with your God sometime, every day, your heart is going to get hard. You will have the symptoms that I've given. And if you don't correct it, you will die of a spiritual heart attack. What a terrible thing to happen. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do ask and pray you'd help us to have a tender heart towards thee. Help each and every one of us to get along with you, to walk with you, to talk with you. Help us to get our beliefs right from the source, from thee. Lord, I pray you'd help us to have a tender heart towards thee, but a tough hide towards man. Lord, I pray that if the sad thing is the ones that have a hard heart, the sad thing is often they don't even want to recognize the symptoms and admit it. Lord, I pray you'd help us to keep a tender heart towards thee. No, heads bowed and eyes are closed, the instruments play, the altar's open. If you need to use the altar, it's open for you. Get alone with God. Get alone with God. I say it and I harp on it so much. You got a Bible, you get in it yourself. But if you do not spend time alone with God, sometime, every day, you say, well, you miss a day here and there. Well, you can miss a day here and there, but you got to get alone with God. And let God tenderize your heart. I can't do it. As you get along with your God, these symptoms of a hard heart, if you got some of them, then get along with God and work it out with Him. Be honest with Him. Tell them what you think. Tell them your frustration. Tell them your viewpoint. Let them deal with you. He sees your heart anyway. Might as well just lay it all out. I pray you help us learn from Josiah. He is 26 at the time, Lord, and he had a tender heart towards thee. And Lord, I pray you'd help us keep a tender heart towards thee, be faithful to you. Lord, we do need to have a tough hide towards the critics of your word, apostates of your words. But Lord, I pray you'd help us a tender heart towards thee. In Jesus' name, amen.